to him, aren't you?
Good. Tired, but we got a shortened agenda.
Public for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Could we please have a roll call?
Commissioner Landgraf?
Here.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Here.
Roman Zabby Hutch?
Here.
Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Peter Tocco?
Here.
Tim Coop?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
Absent are Tom Halpin, Jay Cook, Mike Wiesen, and Don Siglin.
Okay, first order of business is adoption of the minutes from the April 25th meeting. Are there any corrections, changes, amendments?
I think the corrections have been done, right?
Then can I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next order of business is adoption of resolutions. We have four from the April 25th meeting. P18 2022, Abby and Ariel Siegel. P19 2022, Nashville Beach LLC. P20 2022, Timothy Bradley. P21 2022, Ocean PNC LLC. Are there any changes or amendments to the resolution? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
I'll make the motion.
Second? Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me.
All in favor? Please
aye.
Say aye.
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 Okay. Turn it over to our board attorney. There are some changes to our agenda.
Okay, there's six applications on the agenda. Only three are going to be heard tonight. Carmella, as of right now, anything else on June 27th? Because three of them are getting moved.
Yes.
June 27th, but a couple of them might go away, possibly, too.
4 North Martindale, 5000 Wellington Avenue, and 8 North Cambridge, all requested June 27th.
Right, but any others on that date as of now? Like,
yes.
That came into the office?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm just trying to determine our caseload.
Yes.
All right, so the first application on the agenda, Ken Cotugno, 4 North Martindale Avenue, Block 136, Lot 17. This is an applicant's request that it be adjourned to June 27th, 2022, which is a Monday night. The applicant will not be required to republish and renotice. It'll be 6:30 p.m. in this room, June 27th. So if anyone's here for that, that's your notice for that. The next one, Lynn Barrig, 8 North Cambridge Avenue. There's a chance that this might ultimately, the applicant's requested that it be adjourned to June 27th also, so that'll be June 27th, 2022, 6:30 p.m. in this room. The applicant will not be required to republish or renotice. That's Block 119, Lot 29, 8 North Cambridge Avenue. And then finally, Ventnor Loan LLC, 500 Wellington Avenue, Block 304, Lot 1. The applicant has also requested that be adjourned and heard on June 27th, 2002, 6:30 p.m. in this room. The applicant will not be required to republish and renotice. The remaining three applications, we're going to take them in this order. Mr. Battistini's case we'll be able to hear first. That's Thaddeus and Barbara Kanigowski, 912 North Harvard. And then Mr. Callahan has two applications, Tanley LLC, which is 29 North Martindale, and Murata, 16 South Wissahickon Avenue. So
thank
that's
you,
the Lee. Order.
Let us proceed with the first application, which is for Thaddeus and Barbara Kanigowski at 912 North Harvard Avenue.
Good evening, ladies. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me,
before we do, let me have our engineer sworn in.
Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
And would you have your witnesses and any person who will be making testimony before us to have them sworn in also?
Yes, good evening, John Battistini, and with us tonight we have Peter Weiss as well as John Barnhart, who have both appeared before this board many times, that I'd like to know if they'd be sworn in as experts as well.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, let me get them sworn in, and then obviously we'll accept their qualifications.
Yes.
Mr. Barnhart, Mr. Weiss, just state your name and address for the record. I'll swear you both in together.
Peter Weiss, 38 East Oakcrest Avenue in Northfield.
John Barnhart, 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
And you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give tonight will be the truth?
Yes.
I do.
Okay, and Mr. Weiss, will note, registered architect, and Mr. Barnhart, professional engineer and planner in the state of New Jersey, both appeared before us many times, and
yes,
we'll accept their qualifications.
Good evening again. It's a pleasure to be before this board for the first time. I hope I'm able to meet your expectations of what you would expect in a lawyer. At this point, I'm going to have Mr. Peter Weiss talk about the project itself. Mr. Weiss, what is the applicant seeking? What are we looking to do with this project?
We're proposing to build a new single-family home on this lot.
And the lot's currently vacant?
Yes.
And we're in the R2 single-family zone?
Yes.
And the adjoining properties are both improved on either side?
Correct.
And tell us what we're building. We're building a five-bedroom home with a pool?
Yes.
And have we spoken of any of the, could you explain the project as to what we're building? You
want to elaborate? Yes. So this will be a three-story living space over ground level. That'll be entry, garage, story, covered patio, and then there's going to be pool in the back towards the bulkhead.
Peter, can you just speak up a little louder?
Better. Say that thing. This is too loud now, right?
That's never too loud to be
the radio concession. Where was it? The first floor had the another entry, a main entry, main living space, a bedroom, and the decks in the rear, or a deck in the rear. The second floor, three bedroom, three baths, and a den, also a deck in the rear. And the third floor would be the master suite and a den with a rear deck. In the previous version we had submitted back in March, it was a six-bedroom house, and now it's been reduced down to five bedrooms, which means we have more parking than needed. There'll be an elevator that'll service all floors. The exterior is going to be fiber cement siding, asphalt roof, shingles, and then there's some metal roof accents on the front. The main living space, of course it's elevated, so the main living space is well above the flood elevation for that area. Our initial application was in March, and since then we've made a bunch of changes to the design. Specifically, we removed the rear yard setback requirement, or rear yard setback variance. Originally the building was a little beyond the setback line, so we cut it back to comply. The building coverage has been reduced, which no longer needs a variance. The roof has been converted to a gambrel roof, which creates a lot of attic space and reduces the volume and square footage of the third floor, so that removed the variances for eave height and third floor area. We've also made at the request of the neighbors, with regard to Mrs. Feldman, who's on the north side, the lot to the right, she requested that we cut the second floor deck back to be 9 feet from the bulkhead, which isn't shown here, but that's what we are proposing to do. So this second floor deck. Okay. So this deck will be a little bit shorter. I think it's about 15 inches shorter to be 9 feet from the bulkhead, as mentioned. Then Mr. Kleiner, who is on the south side, which would be on the left side of the house, had requested that we remove a couple windows on the second floor, on the side of the house, with parents, so we took them out, which, you know, isn't a zoning issue, but we did that. The pool, in some conversations today, is going to be modified so that it will be thinner or narrower, say, front to back. It was 10 feet, we're going to reduce it down to 9, and then slide it a foot towards the building, which will then meet the rear yard setback of 6 feet. To compensate for the area loss, we're going to extend the pool towards Mr. Kleiner's house 2 feet, so the lot will be now, the lot, the pool will now be 18 by 9, and will still be, you know, more than 8 feet, I'm sorry, 7 feet from the property line on the south side. We have a Juliet balcony here off the dining room on the first floor. So we at this plan, at this point, intend to remove that and just put windows across here. Then there was also a Juliet balcony on the second floor off this bedroom, which encroached into the setback about 15 inches. So we're going to pull that back and recess it into the room a bit, so that will now meet the rear yard setback requirement. I think that's it.
So in essence, your new design has eliminated 5 variances from the prior application?
Probably more, but, you know.
Okay. That's correct. Close to it, if not more. If anybody has any questions for Mr. Weiss, I don't know the procedure for the board, but Mr. Weiss's testimony is done for this evening, unless the board has any questions for him.
Here's the thing, Patrick, you never gave us an updated report.
I did.
You did?
Yes.
Well, I haven't dated March 22nd.
We'll have Roger's report. Can we hear from Joe?
Of course.
Unless you want to.
I don't need it.
I don't think so. Mr. Barnhart.
My wife tells me I talk too loud anyway.
Did you hear the testimony from Mr. Weiss?
I did, yes.
And you agree to everything he has said so far?
I do, yes.
That's awesome. Can you please describe us the variances that are required after we've gone through the modifications?
Sure. So, as Peter described in detail, with regard to all the changes that he's made over time, I just want to step back a second and just explain kind of how, where the project started and how, where we are now. So, our client moved forward with a single-family house design on the property. The project required a number of variances. An initial application was made, required a great number of variances. When that application was submitted, there was some concern by his immediate neighbors on both sides. They took a step back and said, let's rethink this. Let's look at our plan, and let's come up with a solution that works for everybody, which, when you're talking about construction of new single-family homes on the bayfront, as a board, that's what you hope is going to happen, because you know, everybody's concerned about their views, everybody's concerned about setbacks and things, so if neighbors can work together to make the project work and make everybody comfortable with it, that's a win for everybody. And that's where this project has now ended up tonight, thankfully. So, as I mentioned, there were a number of variances, like 7 or 8 variances made with the initial application. As it stands tonight, we have actually eliminated yet additional variances, even from Roger's most recent report.
That's great.
His most recent report was May 8th, Roger?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So here's what we're asking for tonight. I'm going to skip forward to exactly what we're asking for tonight, because that's really what matters. What we're asking for tonight is a front yard setback variance of 15 feet, where 20 feet is required. We're asking for a rear yard, I call it a setback variance, but it's really a deck height variance by the way the ordinance is written, but we have a first floor deck that is 7 feet 9 inches from the bulkhead, which is permitted. We have a second floor deck in the rear of the structure that, as was identified, is proposed to be 9 feet from the bulkhead, which was in accommodation to Mrs. Feldman to the north. So that second floor deck creates a variance because it's above the first floor deck. It's not permitted at that location, and it's supposed to be within the required principal rear building setback. The other variances that are listed in Roger's most recent report are with regard to the pool. As a result of the concern of Mr. Clymer, we are eliminating and no longer requesting that variance. The pool required was requesting a setback variance to the bulkhead. We are sliding the pool toward Harbin Avenue and narrowing it up a bit and making it 2 feet wider into the side yard. It will still be compliant with the side yard, but we have eliminated the rear yard setback. So the variance, there is no variance necessary for the pool any longer. So the only two variances we're asking for are with regard to that deck I just discussed in the rear and with regard to the front yard setback of the home itself.
In Mr. McLaren's report, he had mentioned something about a bulkhead height.
Yes.
Could you speak to that?
Sure. So the existing bulkhead height in this location is approximately 9.7. Your ordinance permits anywhere between elevation 8 and elevation 9 for bulkhead heights. The prior owner of this property, actually two owners removed, Dr. Feldman and his wife, came before this board in 2017, many of you were here, and actually requested a variance for his bulkhead height because he was trying to obtain greater protection from wave action and flood, and this board thankfully granted him that variance, and then he went on to build that structure at the permitted height. The as-built height of that bulkhead is, as I mentioned, between 9.5 and 9.7, which is compliant with the prior approval that was given by this board. So Roger's report brings it up as something that we needed to discuss. That approval is already in place and the as-built condition is compliant with the approval that was granted.
Now, we are looking to support these variances under the C1 and the C2 criteria. Can you express to us the C1 criteria, the actual shallowness of the lot, how that impacts what we're looking to do?
Sure. I think everybody's very familiar with the stretch of North Harvard Avenue. They have a requirement of an 80-foot lot depth, but the reality based on the way Harvard Avenue right-of-way sits and the bulkhead line along Harvard Avenue sits, the lots vary, but most of them are in the 65 to 70-foot range. So right off the bat, they are 10 feet short than what the ordinance contemplates and what the front and rear setbacks are that are based on an 80-foot wide lot. So what has happened here, and while we all recognize that variances are not precedent setting, each one is unique. But what has happened along Harvard Avenue, and we've done many of the cases, is that there's a pattern of development that's been established, in many cases by variance. And what I mean by that is many, many of the homes along Harvard Avenue have been granted and constructed at a 15-foot front yard setback. Us having had the benefit of being part of many of these applications and understanding that to be an appropriate setback for the location, working with Peter Weiss as well, who has also been involved in them, but have guided our client to understanding that 15-foot front yard setback, don't ask for 14, don't ask for 12, 15 has become the established pattern of development. It's an appropriate request and does not create a negative impact on the neighbors. That is how we arrived at the proposed 15-foot front yard setback. With regard to the rear setback for the deck, it's really the same discussion. The deck ordinance is a little bit odd in how it's written with regard to not being allowed to have a second level, a deck above the first level, especially for bayfront homes. Obviously, bayfront homes want decks at every level because that's why they want to be on the bayfront, is to have those beautiful views. So both of those setbacks, I think, can be established under the C1 criteria, and we have a unique condition in the shallowness of the lot as a result of the existing physical location of the bulkhead as compared to the front property line. Most properties in this zone are dealing with 80-foot lots. In this specific case, this property is dealing with about a 68-foot-deep lot. So that squeezes the development footprint down and is what creates the hardship condition in this case.
Is there anything under the C2 criteria that we can point to?
Yeah, I think this is the case of the benefits of the deviation outweighing the potential detriments in that we are following the precise pattern of development that has been created along North Harvard Avenue. We're not deviating from it in any regard. There are not many lots left. So what you want to see is the remaining lots just kind of follow suit, not try to get even closer to the street or frankly even pull too far back from the street. It creates the uniformity, although each one architecturally is appealing and different, uniformity of the setbacks along Harvard Avenue, I think, is a benefit to the community.
All right. In regard to the negative criteria, can the variance be granted without substantial detriment to the public good?
Absolutely. As I started, I think you'll hear from neighbors or their representatives. This is a situation where they worked closely up until as recently as this afternoon to make sure that each one of their neighbors were comfortable, that they didn't want to go under construction of a brand new bayfront home and have animosity between neighbors, which is a great thing. We unfortunately don't get the benefit of that a lot. A lot of times there are doing other things. But they worked out some changes, as you heard Peter White describe. They eliminated two Juliet style balconies on the southerly side. They eliminated the pool setback variance on the southerly side to address the concerns of the neighbors to the south. The neighbors to the north, they pulled that second level deck back to 9 feet from the bulkhead, where the first level deck will be at 7 feet 9 inches, but they gave our neighbor a little bit more openness by pulling back another 15 inches to 9 feet to address the concerns of the neighbor to the north. And just one other thing, with regard to these decks, I just wanted to get it on the record. It was the other condition or combination of that neighbor is that those decks will have clear glass railings to keep the openness or to keep the openness and the view of the light across those decks. So with all those things in play, I think that there is currently no substantial detriment to the public good, because the two most affected people in this application have worked together with us to try to make a plan that works for everyone.
And this project won't substantially impair the intent and purposes of the municipal land use law or the Ventnor City ordinances, will it?
It will not. With regard to the zone plan, obviously we're a single family house in a single family zone. With regard to the zoning standards or zoning criteria, we whittled 8 variances down to 2, and there are 2 variances that absolutely can be established under the hardship, and they also go to the compatibility of the neighborhood.
I have a great deal of respect for what this board does on a daily basis, a weekly basis, monthly basis. We have nothing else to add. If you had any more additional questions of either Mr. Weiss or Mr. Barnhart, please ask.
The board members, before Roger gives his report, have any questions? Mr. Barnhart?
John, you addressed the third floor deck?
The third floor deck, I don't believe the third floor deck is a variance. I mean, the entirety of the third floor deck is within the building.
Okay.
And has enclosed living space below it. So I don't think that's a variance, Roger, is it?
No, it used to be further out, but now okay. It's back in.
Yeah. It's an oddity that the ordinance says you can't have a deck above the first floor, but you are permitted a third floor deck as long as it's inside the building.
Oh, it's displacing part of a third floor, so.
Exactly. It's essentially right.
Right.
But it is, the third floor deck is now entirely within the footprint. There is living, enclosed living space below.
And one additional question is the pool, by sliding it over, it'll meet the 6-foot setback on the side?
It will actually still be in excess of the 6-foot setback. We're sliding it over. We're actually not sliding it over. We're elongating the pool by 2 feet.
Right.
So the side yard setback will go from 9.25 to 7.25.
And there won't be any deck in that setback, right?
When you say deck.
Well, the 8-foot
setback. There will still be landscaping. We have to meet our lot coverage requirements. Is that what you're asking me?
Well, my concern is you're not going to wrap the deck around the pool and create another variance for the side yard setback.
No.
Okay.
It's a coverage issue anyway. We couldn't do it. So.
Okay. Since no other questions, Roger, would you make your report, please?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Board members, the original report was based on written March 22nd, which actually contained 9 variances, and by tonight's testimony, we're down to 2 variances. If you recall, this is part of a subdivision by the late Dr. Feldman, rest his soul. I think we kind of knew that some of these variances, like the front yard setback, would be coming back. So the revised report is based on the application of Thaddeus and Barbara Kanagowski, 912 North Harvard Avenue, Block 317, Lot 20.02, seeking C variances, engineering and planning report. As testimony provided, it is within the R2 single family zoning district. It's also preliminary firm zone elevation 9, and also partially in a coastal A zone, which is V zone standards. Again, that'll be a construction code issue and a flood damage prevention manager, and the ordinance will have to be followed. I think Mr. Weiss has designed a breakaway walls and fully compliant with the coastal A zone requirements. Materials reviewed, bottom of page one, continue on page two. The project description, without adding too much more than what the testimony has already provided. Again, just to add in there, this was part of a subdivision that was approved by this board not too long ago, 2019. And again, to, as per my discussion with the applicant's engineer, the past 2 days, we discussed what was going to take place tonight, and I'm glad to see that they worked some of these variances out. So the zoning chart is on page two, continue on page three, and the variances have been whittled down to the following. Front yard setback to the building, whereas 20 feet is a required minimum setback for buildings on north-south streets, and 15.2 or 15 feet is proposed. And also rear yard deck height, again, rear yard decks that encroach into the rear yard setback are not permitted to be higher than a first floor deck, and one is proposed. Eliminated today was the third floor deck and the pool setback requirements. No waivers have been requested. Some comments, I'm not going to go through all my comments because they've already been addressed by the testimony. The existing lot area, I do have a question about the lot area for the, under the subdivision testimony or application, the lot area is different than what's presented tonight. Not that it really matters because the lot area variance was already granted, but if we could just clarify that on the compliance plans, just make sure that's the final number. Front yard setback, again, as testimony provided, I think every property along Harvard Avenue in this section has asked for a 15-foot setback, and that is the planting pattern on that side of the street. And again, you're kind of squishing the property in because of the water bounding on the one side, and then you have the street on the other and the property line. So that is not an unusual request. Rear yard decks, discussed that. Coastal A zone, we've already hit on that. The bulkhead height, I'm glad you touched on that, just to get it on the record and where we stand today. I do remember the height of the bulkhead, and higher is not a bad thing, especially when you're in a coastal way. And actually, the coastal way line is at that bulkhead line. So it's not a bad idea. All landscape requirements shall be met. Again, all utilities, I believe all the utilities have been installed during the subdivision process, so there's no issue there. And that concludes my comments at this time.
Before we open up to the public, any questions from board members?
Chairman, if I could. Just a question on the pool equipment and the mechanical platform. Are they going to be fenced? Just trying to kill some noise. I mean, especially for Mr. Kleiner, he's probably the closest neighbor that will be affected by that pool equipment. Is there going to be some sort of sound fencing or something around up on it? Is there going to be elevated, right? Okay. So, exactly. Yep. Okay. That's all I would ask.
All right. At this point, I'll open up the floor to any public who would like to speak. Please come to the front. We see one person coming up.
Good evening. Eric Goldstein on behalf of the neighbor to the north, Anna Feldman. Mrs. Feldman couldn't be here tonight, but I just wanted to thank the applicants and their attorney and engineer and architect. We've been going over the plan a number of times, and it couldn't have been a better process. And, you know, all the neighbors on the street, of course, want to welcome the applicants as new neighbors. And Mrs. Feldman said thank you for being so cooperative. So this is one of those cases where really, because everybody was so proactive and Mr. Battistini early on got in touch with us and said, here's what we can do to maybe make these changes. It's been a real pleasure, and they only have a great neighbor coming with the applicants, but also I think you're going to enjoy with Mrs. Feldman and your view out to the north, certainly seeing their house and them seeing your house. So thank you. And Mr. Barnhart put on the conditions regarding the deck being pushed back to 9 feet and the open railing. So that's really it for the Feldman side.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Does anyone else have a comment? Yes.
What's your name and address? I got to swear again.
Yep. Mike Sizek, 908 North Cambridge.
Czyzyk? I know you've been here before.
Yes.
Can you spell it?
Sure. C-Z-Y-Z-Y-K.
And you swear affirm the testimony you're going to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
Yeah. First off, welcome. I had a question about the third story deck, and I know it's been changed since, I guess, the last time we were here. But is the third story deck above the second story living space, and the second deck extends out past the second floor living space? Is that correct? I'm just trying to understand.
The third floor, this ground shaded area is the footprint of the building. The third floor deck is within that footprint of the building in this area. The second floor deck that we were talking about is that yellow shaded area.
Understood. So that third floor deck does not require any variance?
Correct.
It meets the code, yes.
That's correct. Okay.
That was my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to comment? Yes, sir.
My name is Peter Kleiner, 910 North Harvard Avenue.
Mr. Kleiner, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I just wanted to state that, and I'm not really sure, the only time I've ever been in front of the planning board was for my home a couple years ago. This process has been wonderful, and I'd like to thank everybody at the bottom of the ninth to compromise a couple ways to make me and my wife a little bit happier, and we couldn't be happier to have new neighbors in what I think is the nicest neighborhood in Ventnor.
Thank you. Anyone else? Well, before I close the meeting, I just have a quick comment to say. It is a pleasure chairing a meeting to hear such positive comments, both from the public and from professionals, for the fact that this process is one of communication, coordination, and modification to result that everyone is happy. So thank you all. And at this point, I'll close the public session and ask the attorney, are there any other comments you'd like to make?
We've talked a long time ago, things are going well. Just sit down.
And I should have asked earlier. Yes, I should have asked earlier, but you're pleased with, you're in agreement with the comments made by our board attorney.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, any last questions, comments from board members? Seeing none, Leo, would you be so kind to present a motion in the positive?
Yeah, my only question is, the couple balconies that are getting removed, are they on any plan? Are they still on the plans? So I should note that as a condition that they will be removed, or they have been?
We're going to submit plans to the board engineer to make sure that they fit whatever the resolution is.
And then some windows on Mr. Kleiner's side are going to be?
They were previously removed. I thought so. Well, and they're already on the plans that are existing.
Gotcha.
Well,
okay.
They're no longer.
All right, so it's a C variance application, two C variances, the front yard setback at 15 feet where 20 is required, and then the rear deck heights, they're not permitted over above the first floor, and they have a second floor deck and a third floor deck. The conditions I noted, Commissioner Landgraf's concerned that the HVAC equipment will be fenced in. The two small Julian balconies.
Fenced in with a sound reducing structure.
With the sound reducing structure. The two Julian balconies will be removed to the extent they're still shown on the plans. The pool setback's now going to comply by elongating the pool. The deck's going to be brought back. The second floor deck will be brought back to a 9-foot setback.
9 feet from the bulkhead.
9 feet setback from the bulkhead. And then the. All the rear decks will have clear railings, clear glass railings. And then the third floor deck's within the building envelope, so that meets code. And those are and then I'll just note any other representations made by the applicant during the course of the hearing and anything else in Mr. McLaren's report, unless we otherwise address, subject to outside approvals, the typical standard conditions.
That it, Leo?
Yep.
Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Can we have a roll call vote?
Commissioner Langraff?
This application makes board members happy. You guys worked out your neighbors' concerns and really worked with them. I want to thank you guys for reaching out to me and getting your utilities in before we paved the street. That would have really made them angry. They wouldn't care about their views. They cut up my blacktop. So Mr. Kanagowski reached out several months ago, and we got the utilities in. They got the utilities in before we paved the street. So that worked out really well. Really happy with how this project came together, and the variances to me are similar to what we've granted all along that Harvard Avenue and the canal. They are reduced in depth, those lots. Classics hardship variance in my mind. If this was on a deeper lot, these variances wouldn't even be coming before us. So to me, this is a hardship variance, and I vote yes on the application.
Commissioner Kriebel?
I repeat everything that Commissioner Langraff said. This is a great example of fitting the building to the surrounding neighborhood. I think that's one of the things that I find positive in this application. So the work together was a great part of this. I find that the variance is de minimis. I'm also happy that the former site of the Viking Rowing Club, those views were only enjoyed by high school rowers for years. That city, that part of the city is now being fleshed out with the homes that was always envisioned to have. That's another positive in my mind. So I vote yes.
Roman Zabihutch?
The collaborative effort by everyone involved is incredibly good. We reduced 9 variances down to 2 as a result of the process, which is wonderful. You know, it's the intent of the board not to have any variances. This is quite a nice feat. With regard to the variances themselves, they are due to hardship because of the site. And it's consistent with the type of development that has occurred along the street. So therefore, I'm voting yes.
Lorraine Salata?
I'll vote yes. I always appreciate it when they eliminate variances and they can make the plan actually better. It makes our job a lot easier, and they still have a lovely product, so good luck with it.
Dan Smith III?
I'm also going to vote in favor of the project. I think that the professionals and the applicant and the neighbors did fantastic job in working together. These are clearly hardship variances, and it's a great application, and I'm all for it.
Peter Taco?
First, I'd like to commend the applicant for working so closely with his neighbors, with their neighbors, to eliminate most of those variances. I will vote in favor of the application. I feel that the front yard setback is certainly consistent with what we've granted in the past and consistent with the pattern of the neighborhood, and the other variances are de minimis.
Tim Coop.
I also vote in favor. I appreciate the collaboration, and I think the variances are reasonable given the site.
You're approved. Congratulations.
Congrats.
Thank you very much for your patience and your time.
Good luck.
Welcome. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Now just try and get in the windows. We've been waiting 3 months for
one. Can I add a question to the board?
Yeah.
There's no hardship living where we live.
What about the sunsets?
They're awful.
Yeah. You'll suffer through a few.
Yeah, there's some of that.
Yeah, that was funny.
Sure. That's nice. Who would ever talk, right?
Refreshing.
The next application is Tanley LLC, 2029 North Martindale.
Good evening. Brian Callahan of the law firm Callahan Thompson Thompson on behalf of Tanley LLC, 29 North Martindale. I don't know if you want to go through Roger's report first, or just want me to go on with the application. It's a pretty quick application.
Okay.
I'd let him do it in nature to happen.
Are you going to have any of the...
I have Maria Sprouse, who's the general contractor. Mr. Bluestein is unfortunately can't be here tonight, he's just got out of a hernia operation, so he's still at home. Just for the record, that all jurisdictional requirements have met, we're in our R7 district. The application is technically, if you've gone, we have a sloped roof right now over an enclosed front porch. The object is to remove the slope roof, create a deck, and put a roof over that deck. If you've been down that street, a house on Winchester Avenue has a second floor deck, same setback as us. The house next to us has a second floor deck, same setback. We would have this, we had the slope roof, which we're changing to a deck. The house next to us going toward Ventnor Avenue, second floor deck. So about 9 houses going all the way down Ventnor Avenue toward Ventnor all have second floor decks with the roofs over them. As you got closer to Ventnor Avenue, they don't have second floor decks, they have fully enclosed second floors. And the whole street is really set back 2.5 to 3 feet all the way down the street. So what the gentleman's asking for is to have a second floor deck so when he comes out his master bedroom, he can sit out there with his wife. We need a front yard variance because we would have a 2.5 foot setback and one side yard variance for 2.5 setback. And the other reason, it's a weird type of arrangement, but if you're going to have communication with your neighbors during the summer, all the front porches at the ground level are enclosed. So if you want to talk to them, you got to be on the second level so you can talk at the same level to the porch. Permit-wise, I mean, Mr. Agnesino had given us permits because the client did not want to tear down the house, which was not in great condition, but not in bad condition. He wanted to maintain the house the way it was. We've talked to the client also. Governor strip we would put in, and I don't believe there's room for 2 street trees, but we think 1 street tree could go in. So with respect to that, and the lands, there's a, when I say the landscaping, there's a piece of ground in front of the 2.5 foot area that was dirt and had, when you saw the pictures, had a couple bushes in it. That would be fully planted so that at least that area all in front of the building would be fully planted at that point in time. So that's what we're asking for, is to maintain the deck, put a roof over it, 2 setbacks, put the governor strip in, put the street tree in, and plant the entire front of the property the way we can do it. I have Maria Sprouse here as the general contractor, if you have any other questions.
Why don't you have her sworn in, just in case we do have a question.
Sure. Just state your name and address for the record, please.
Maria Sprouse, 108 Reed Road in Opsekin, New Jersey.
S-P-R-O-U-S-E?
Yep.
Maria, you're the general contractor on the job?
Yes.
Swear to tell the truth?
Yes.
Good. Go ahead.
Do any board members have a question before we turn it over to Roger?
I think Brian was going to ask her some questions.
I was just going to say, Maria, the object is to take the sloped roof off of the property and change it into a deck and then put a roof over top of it?
Yes.
And the object is we have a door on there so the next door comes out of their master bedroom so the Bluesteins could come out and sit on the deck?
Yes.
The houses on either side of it all have second floor decks?
Yes, they do.
Going up and down the street,
yes.
Mostly second floor. As you get closer to Ventnor Avenue, fully enclosed 2 stories?
Yes.
So if you're going to have communication with your, and your first floor is a fully enclosed?
Yes.
So there's no room to sit out or talk to anybody at that ground level?
No.
Do you see this having any type of an impact on your neighbors?
No.
Blocking anyone's light air view?
No.
Any impact on Ventnor zoning ordinance or anything else?
No.
Thank you.
All right. Roger, could you make your report?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. The report is based on the application of Tanley, LLC, 29 North Martindale Avenue, Block 135, Lot 15. Seeking C variances and located in the R7 Single Family Residential Zoning District. Substantial benefit variance. Materials reviewed on the bottom of page 1, continued on page 2. And the project description as described by the applicant is they are replacing a sloped, the existing sloped roof with a fiberglass deck and a roof above that, which creates 2 variances. One being the existing non-conforming setback on the side and also an expansion of the non-conforming setback in the front, both of which are 2.5 feet. The applicant has agreed to install grass governor strip, and I agree that 1 street tree could be supported there instead of 2. And that's pretty much it. And I agree with the area that should be landscaped in the front, that'll really present some curb appeal.
And you had made a comment about maybe not removing the concrete and the gutters, but the applicant would do it.
They volunteered to do it?
It's a narrow walkway, but I think, you know, you still have the ability just to give it, because as you go down toward Ventnor Avenue, there is a couple street trees there. So I think it just, you know, once again, it goes back to your overall philosophy. If we have a chance to put a little governor strip in and put a street tree in, and we're not on the beach block, you know, we're between Winchester and Ventnor, why not?
Yep.
It gives that little bit of curb appeal.
Okay, any board members have questions or comments?
Is there a plot plan or something? Survey with the...
There was.
Old survey that we attached to the application, and we attached a bunch of pictures to the application.
Because the construction started already.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy gave us the permit because the only thing he said was that we needed was the option, you know, if you complied with the ordinance, it had about a 3-foot deck up top, based upon the setback minus the 5-foot encroachment it's doing.
Okay.
So, you know, the client thought, based upon the nature of it, that we weren't going to unfortunately hire an architect or hire a surveyor to prepare a full-blown site plan.
Right, but all I'm seeing is a survey that shows a vacant lot.
No, actually, there is a survey that they submitted based on, from Duffy, Dulcey, McManus, and Roche, for the Thailand's claim, but it also shows the building addition under construction.
I'm sorry, I don't see that plan in my package. I see a Ponzio plan that shows repairing the claim. Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, at this point, I'll open the floor to the public. Anyone in the public wishes to speak, please come forward. Seeing no one, I'll close the public portion. You had a chance to read Roger's report?
Yes, we did.
And?
We agree with everything you said.
Okay. Are you complete with your testimony?
We are.
Okay. Any last opportunity for board members to question or comment?
Yeah, is there a landscaping package of any kind?
No, they should request that waiver. I mean, there's really no room to put landscaping.
Okay.
To comply.
But they're going to plant that planter.
They're going to plant
that
planter in front as a condition of approval.
Yeah, that 2.5-foot area in front of the building will be replanted.
Okay.
But it goes into the sidewalk, so it's more than 2.5 feet.
Yeah, I mean, and the question would be, I would ask you that you would waive a revocable license so that I don't have to go out.
Just landscape.
Yeah, it's just going to be landscape.
As long as you don't put any structures in it.
No.
Right, no block wall or nothing.
Landscaping is fine.
Yeah, that area that shows right now on those pictures will be re-landscaped.
Okay.
Which is more than 2.5 feet, it's probably...
Yeah, probably about 4 feet, four and a half feet.
I'd say 4.5 plus the 2.5.
Yeah.
Looks like it's that, looking at this is the scale.
That survey shows something going, it looks like, I'm looking at
it's a repairing claim.
Yeah. Oh, repairing?
No, Thailand's claim. Yeah. It's an old stream.
Yeah. But that planter area, it definitely looks like
an old stream.
I would say, that's probably...
Back in the 1600s.
Probably 7 feet wide total.
Yeah.
It's roughly a lot of eyeball on it, from my view.
They can make it nice.
Going down the street, there is all the other decks. All the other houses do have this there.
Yeah.
You know, outdoor space is certainly something that's a good amenity to have on the island.
Roger.
So that's all I have.
It's a street.
It's an old street.
This one runs under our firehouse number one, too.
It's still active.
Well, yeah, because it keeps eroding the sand from underneath.
Collapsing.
Yeah.
Any further comments or questions? If not, Roger, would you please form a resolution in the affirmative for us?
Leo?
Sure.
I got it. We need a motion and a second for 2C variances. Front yard setback to the proposed deck of 2.5 feet where 7 feet is required, and then side yard setback on the left side to the proposed deck of 2.5 feet where 4 feet is required. Waiver will be the waiver from the formal landscaping requirements, but as conditions, the applicant will put in the governor's strip with one street tree and the landscape that planter in the front of the property, and we'll also note any other conditions in Mr. McLaren's report will apply, and then the applicant will comply with any representations it made during the course of the hearing.
Can I hear a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Can we have a roll call vote, please? State your reasons.
Commissioner Landgraf?
Since the most impacted people here would be the neighbors, none of the neighbors came out and objected to the application. That means a lot to me. I do see that, the predominant development along the street is that second floor deck. This will have a roof over it too, though?
Yes.
One of the things I would ask is, and we might have to amend the resolution to include, it's not enclosed. They cannot enclose it without coming back here for that relief. It's being open.
Right, and they couldn't.
Right, I'm just making sure. If it's noted in the, resolution, I would ask that because that happens.
Unfortunately, yeah, I caught that.
And that, then it becomes a solid structure up there, and it does impact people's views. That would be my concern.
Gotcha.
Should have brought that up.
That's acceptable. We have no intention. Okay. Right. That's fine.
Okay, we're amending that, motion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I vote yes on the application. I don't think it's a negative impact on the neighborhood. It meets the, pattern in that neighborhood and provides a good outdoor space for the, residents.
Commissioner Kriebel?
I agree with Commissioner Landgraf's testimony. I think the outdoor space is an important part of that neighborhood and the character of the architecture in that area. So I vote yes.
Roman Zabi Hutch?
I also vote in favor of the application. Variances are consistent with what already exists. Something that's not going to be an expansion other than the addition of a roof. I am very happy that we're going to have the governor strip and a tree because it will hopefully start a trend on both sides of, Martindale, because we really need to remove quite a bit of cement out of the way to beautify the city, which would be more inconsistent with what the master plan has. So it's yes.
Lorraine Salata?
I'll vote in favor of it. It seems to be consistent with many of the other homes on that street. Excuse me. And to Roman's point, adding the governor's strip in a tree is always a plus.
Dan Smith III?
I'm also going to vote in favor for all the comments made so far. And, you know, it fits into the neighborhood and the deck is appropriate.
Peter Taco?
I'm also vote in favor. It seems to be consistent with the rest of the development on the street, and certainly the fact that no neighbors came out to object weighs heavily on it.
Tim Coop?
I also vote in favor. I like the open space. I think that's good, and I like the fact that a tree will grow on Martindale. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
The application is approved.
Thank you.
Chairman, with the last application being a D variance, I think Mr. Kriebel and I get a get an early night.
Okay. Yes.
That's correct.
I didn't. I had a different agenda. I didn't have this one on our agenda, so we must have an old one.
Yeah, I've
laid out.
We get an early night, Tim.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
One question, if I could, before the next application starts. We've been approached by some residents about creating a shade tree commission. I almost saw Lorraine's head spin off. She wants to be on that, I'm pretty sure.
I'm sorry.
Would you be interested in if we created, and we have to run it by Commissioner Kriebel and,
yeah,
and the mayor, but a shade tree commission?
I would do that, yep.
Could I volunteer to also be considered to be on that?
Sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah. It's something, and we're working on some other things for the commercial districts, but what a shade tree commission would do would actually help. You can give it enough power where if they're going to cut down a tree in the city, you have to get their okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I'll volunteer for that.
So it's not part of the planning board. So just I'm looking at certainly Lorraine with her passion for landscaping. But Hamilton is a town that has a really strong shade tree commission. You try and cut a limb off a tree out there, and you got to get approval. An arborist has to say that it's okay to cut that limb off, and it's another process. So I will I will warn board members that, but it's something that can work.
From my years of experience, those boards, Shaker Commissions, are not like historical commissions.
No.
Where it's a negative vote no matter what you do.
Right.
They really are trying to enhance the beauty of the community and try to maintain trees, get trees planted, so I think it's a very positive step.
Okay.
Removes one of the items for more discussion on Friday.
There you go.
Thank you. Sorry for interrupting you guys, but...
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night. We'll let the two commissioners leave, and then we'll...
I'll be brief on the picture.
Okay, the next application is Anthony Murata, 16 South Wickahishin Avenue.
Evening, Brian Callahan, the law firm Callahan Thompson, on behalf of the applicant. Property is 16 South Wissahickon. We're here tonight, let me give you a little background why we're here tonight. Mr. Murata had a certificate of nonconformity, knocked down his existing duplex, and was building a new side-by-side two-unit building, which was permitted under our zoning district. And that the requirements under that district, which turned in all the plans, was a 10-foot front, 10-foot rear, 5-foot side, and 5-foot side. In talking, he'll go over and explain some of the people that he was trying to sell the one unit, going to be living in one, sell the other unit to, did not like the concept of condominium living. Preferred be simple single family for a number of reasons. The way your ordinance is written, changing it from a side-by-side dwelling, which is technically a duplex or condominium, to a fee simple by putting the imaginary line down, your ordinances then change the zoning by saying a fee simple single family attached is not permitted on a 50-foot lot. It's because of use variance. And you also change the zoning for it. So instead of 10, 10, 5, and 5, you now say it's 12, 12, 7, and 7. So we talked to Roger about that a little bit to say, you know, what was really the intention, you know, when you were drafting these ordinances. Because Mr. Barnhart and I thought that, you know, an easier way to do it would be to say, you know, if you had the certificate of nonconformity, then whether it was fee simple single family or two units, it would have been okay. And if you did not have the certificate of nonconformity, then all you could build on a 50-foot lot was a single family. Anything other than a single family was a use variance. And then you had the 60-foot lots, which would come up back before you, which we thought that's where you would put your conditional uses by saying, okay, fee simple or the duplex could be done. So what we're here tonight for technically is by putting the imaginary line down between this property that's probably 80% built right now, it creates a use variance because your fee simple is not permitted, and it creates the variances because you now change the zoning from 10, 10, 5, and 5 to 12, 12, 7, and 7. So that's what we're here for tonight. So I was going to have Mr. Murata sworn and Mr. Barnhart sworn, and Mr. Murata can explain to you why we're coming back. I mean, why we're here tonight to ask for the fee simple versus leaving it as a two-unit condominium. So let me go through and have them sworn in first.
Okay. Mr. Murata, just your name and address for the record.
Anthony Murata, 16 South Wissahickon Avenue, okay. Baker City, New Jersey.
John, I might as well get you two now again.
John Barnhart, 400 North Dover Avenue, Baker City.
And can you each please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give tonight will be the truth?
I do.
Mr. Manis, before we get started, I have a package here that just shows, one of the questions was, did we have a certificate of nonconformity? So we do, and it's part of the package I'll pass out. And also contained within the package is a colored rendering of what the property that's being built is going to look like together with the floor plans.
All right. I'll call it A1, CNC and rendering. Mr. Marotta, when you were talking to Brian, I was swearing.
Thank you.
Mr. Barnhart, and you swear to tell the truth also, obviously?
I do.
Thanks.
Before you proceed, I have a quick question. What is the current status of the lot?
We have permits to build the structure that's being built there right now.
It's being built?
Being built. I would say it's 80% done.
If I may, there's a picture of the property from 2 weeks ago that's already in there showing what's already under construction now. It's obviously further along. But and roof, window, plumbing, electric, HVAC's in it.
Were any variances necessary?
None.
None?
None.
So basically you have almost a completed structure for two families.
The structure's not going to change.
Right.
Correct.
So you almost have a completed building with requiring no variances.
Correct.
Okay.
Anthony, give the board a little rationale of why we're here tonight.
All right. In its simplest, this was done over the counter because it met or exceeded every single setback based upon the ordinance of a duplex, as Brian was explaining. Doing a lot of real estate around the community, I've come to learn over the course of time that it is preferred to have a fee simple situation as opposed to a condominium. Either which way, you're going to get two deeds, and it's going to be taken care of exactly the same. I chatted with Bill Crothers from the tax office. The tax office prefers to see them from a fee simple standpoint. I'm not speaking for Bill, but just from my conversation with them. And just the overall feeling is a fee simple situation, you own all your own ground around it. Flood insurance becomes individualized. There's not a master policy for the two. Everybody has their own. This will still have a homeowners association. The homeowners association would govern the landscaping to be consistent through it, make sure both sides of the properties are consistent in that regard, and anything that had to be done from a shared roof standpoint. So in essence, there would be some levels of control so somebody doesn't put up a purple and pink house next to a nice looking house. If you see the pictures, we're building a pretty nice product. But it's really, it's just the fee simple and just the ordinance.
Mortgage situation, easier?
Fine, thank you, Brian. It's also easier for people to finance in a fee simple, single family attached home than it is a condominium. People are always concerned about that. Some banks, and again, they deal with this every day, some banks underwrite a little bit differently for a condominium than they do for a single family home, even if it's a single family attached home. So in this case, it's,
All right. John?
Yes.
Well, any questions of Mr. Marotta before I go turn it over to Mr. Barnhart?
Yeah, I'm not clear on when this whole concept changed because it's like, I feel like it's late coming to the party, you know, because the house is essentially built. So when did the idea to switch from condo to fee simple, when did all that happen?
That really occurred during the construction process, given the fact that normally I would have probably been close to being finished being built by June or July, and given the supply chain issues, construction issues, and everything else that we hear about every day, realized that I was going to have an additional handful of months because I'm probably not going to have this finished until September. And I already have a buyer on the other side with a contract.
So you changed your mind?
So it's not that I changed my mind. I just saw that I had time to pursue it in this manner. If the board is gracious enough to see that the fee simple is something that has merit and they grant it, that's great. And if it doesn't, then
it's
not stopping what we're doing.
Okay. All right.
It's a fair question.
Yeah. No, I was like confused. It's like the house is already built and you're asking for an approval of something. So.
Again, it's a fair question. And I'm glad you brought it up. But that's really what occurred because I was going forward. Again, we were over the counter for our permits, our building permits. I didn't have to come to the board to do this. Everything met all its ordinances. It's probably also a good example that, since I do a lot of this around town, that we might want to take a look at our ordinance, but that's a separate conversation I'm not going to have now.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
John?
Yes.
Want to walk them through it a little bit?
Sure. So this is an interesting case. It's a nuance in the interference is what it is. You have, in the R7 zoning district, as you know,
you have a couple of things going on. You are permitted, as a conditionally permitted use, two-unit building, side-by-side unit, still only 60 feet wide. If you meet those conditions, you don't need a use variance, you can go forward and build that project. You also have an R7 zoning section which says if you had a strictly non-conformity for a prior two-unit building, you have the legal right to rebuild that building as a two-unit building meeting certain conditions. One of the conditions is if you're going to build on a side-by-side type of structure, the lot has to be 50 feet wide and it has a certain set of standards that go along with that. Mr. Murata moved forward based on that ordinance, which fully permitted what he currently has under construction. But what that ordinance doesn't go on to say is it talks about two-family buildings, it talks about duplexes, which by your ordinance are either over-under or side-by-side. But what that section does not talk about is what we call single-family attached units. So because the proposal is to change the form of ownership and draw a line down the party wall of the building, and the building's being built as two separate structures with a firewall and all the things that are necessary. But in order to strike that line, it creates a host of variances because of the way the ordinance is written. My opinion is, Mr. Murata just touched on it quickly, but it is something that we've had a number of cases on over the last couple of years. And some of them have come in prior to construction because they didn't want to build a project that was going to be a condominium style. Mr. Murata was comfortable doing it as a condominium style and moved forward as it did, and then recognized that, well, geez, my buyers went too simple. So now that's kind of why we're here tonight. That ordinance, if you actually added in another piece of it that would say the standards still apply if you have a certificate of non-conformity, but by the way, you can do duplex, you can do two-family, you can also do single-family attached, it makes a project like this work, and it makes it comply and not have to go through a use variance process, which in my opinion, if you have an ordinance that permits this exact building to be built on this lot, there should not be a contradictory ordinance that then throws you into a use variance just because you want to create what we think is a better form of ownership. With it being a use variance, so how would we justify that here? I mean, I would clearly argue that this is under the purpose of zoning, the first purpose of zoning, it's promotion of general welfare. This is a community that everybody wants to live in now. I mean, you see the number of people coming into this community, homes being reconstructed, new homes being constructed. Everybody wants to own their own land. They want to own their own building. They want that sense of place, and having fee simple ownership does that. Mr. Rogers touched on financing and all those things. We recognize that doesn't really come into play when you talk about land use requirements, but having the subdivision creates no negative impacts to our neighbors, and it creates a situation that is what you want to see, single-family type of ownership in this community. The majority of your zones are single-family zones. And the order that you put in place to allow the demolition of these duplexes with the strictly non-conforming, you can see what it's done. In my opinion, and Brian and I have done some of our own projects. It was a great decision that you made because you've taken down so many old buildings and gotten brand new structures in all different shapes and forms that are really, really benefiting the community from a tax basis and other factors. So for all those reasons, we believe that first purpose of zoning clearly is advanced, and the general welfare is improved upon if this is permitted. With regard to the negative criteria, is there a substantial detriment to the zone plan? Your ordinance permits this. It just doesn't permit it if we want to subdivide it. So I think the intention of having two units on this specific property, your ordinance allows for in a separate section. It just doesn't allow for it to subdivide. So I believe that there is a substantial detriment to the zone plan. With regard to the zoning ordinance, yes, we create clearly a dozen or more variances. But take the line out, apply this ordinance in the R7, zero variances. Put the line back in and apply this section of the R7, and we have all the variances that you see in Mr. McClary's report and on our plan. I think it's a case of an ordinance that needs to be clarified. But I think that we have a project that the community should want, the subdivision of a property like this. The building's going to be there regardless. The improvements are beautiful. They're going to be there regardless, allowing Mr. Morata to own his home and his neighbor to own their home, including the land under it. It's just a positive. So we believe that there is a balance here. The positive and negative criteria are established and that the variance can be granted.
I would like to comment, if the lot was vacant, you're presenting